Coming up, a Wisconsin case is getting national attention and raising issues about the rights of pregnant women.
First, we're talking about cooking Indian food, which, you know, tends to intimidate a lot of people in the kitchen because they assume it'll be complex with lots of spices. But our next guest says it doesn't have to be that way. He's put together a cookbook to serve as a masterclass in Indian cooking. All the recipes use 10 ingredients or less and take about 30 minutes to make.
Raghavan Iyer joins us now. He's a consultant. He's the author of Indian Cooking Unfolded, a masterclass in Indian cooking with 100 easy recipes using 10 ingredients or less. Raghavan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, you came, I think, from Mumbai to Minnesota. You didn't learn to cook in India. What was it like learning to cook traditional Indian food here in the Midwest?
Well, in many ways I say Indian Cooking Unfolded is a book that's 30 years in the making. coming from Mumbai, that time, the availability of ingredients in the middle of Minnesota was really next to non-existent. And I experienced firsthand the challenges that, somebody who wished to replicate the flavors of India with simple ingredients was always cumbersome. So, in the process of writing this book, I sort of went back 30 years, and I could emphasize what the average person who wishes to do Indian food goes through.
Well, and that's what a lot of people might think. Indian cooking sounds great, but there's all these wild spices that I can't get around here. Can we do it without having an excellent Indian grocery right next door?
Absolutely. And the whole premise of the book is, Rob, you could actually go to a main grocery store. You wouldn't need to go to an Indian store at all. And in the matter of, researching the book, I traveled all over the country. And I'm one of those who enjoys going to just your neighborhood grocery store. And I would walk up down the aisle of where the spices are, and I would look at the top five spices that I found common in all of these stores. And, spices like cumin, coriander, mustard, turmeric, and cardamom. And this is something that was pervasive. And also, these were spices that I consider, used in Indian cooking all across the subcontinent. And and so that was the premise of the book, and coming up with some amazing flavors and the layering of spicing, which is what showcases the beauty of Indian cooking amongst those pages.
And that's a big point in your book. Have those five spices handy. Let me see if I got them: cumin, coriander, turmeric, ginger.
Yeah. Ginger is one of the flavorings, but cumin, coriander, turmeric, mustard, and cardamom.
Mustard and cardamom. Okay. And now how about blending them? Because I'll buy spice mixes in the store, Indian spice mixes. Can we do our own blends at home that are just as good or maybe even better?
Well, I think, it's the latter part. It's a million times better. And and I show you, the book has only two blends in it. The majority of it is, when you look at the way the chapters are laid out, every chapter is a lesson plan. And mm-hmm. So you don't have to follow the lesson plan from start to finish, but, it starts you off, the first recipe, for instance, in a particular chapter will, have maybe no spice in it or just one spice. And then how do you build upon those layers? And many of those recipes could have within, again, the context of 10 ingredients or less, you could have two or three spices, and the way it's put together or ground or toasted or roasted, that ends up creating a sort of a signature blend or signature flavor for that particular recipe.
When you're when you're cooking with a seed, like a cumin seed or a mustard seed, I'm lazy, I'll buy the powder. Does it make sense to actually get the seed and grind it yourself? Does it make a difference?
Great point, because to me, I always have said in the 22 years of teaching that I've been doing that as much as possible, you should be buying whole spices in the entire seed form. And it's about how can we extract multiple flavors from whole spices. And I talk about it in the book, and I'll give you a 30-second sort of an elevator rundown about, extracting 8 flavors from a given spice. Mm. You mentioned cumin seeds. If it's used whole as is, you get one flavor. If it's ground raw, you get a second flavor. Dry toasted, in the seed, you get a third flavor ground after it has been dry toasted, you get a fourth flavor. If it's sauteed some kind of a fat left in the seed form, you get flavor number five. If it's ground after it has been roasted in oil, you get flavor number six. Soaked in a liquid seed form, you get flavor seven. And then if it's ground after it has been soaked in the liquid, you get flavor number eight.
Oh, man. I want to go home and start roasting cumin seeds right now. This sounds great.
But, you know, and the beauty of some of those, working with those spices, is you could actually take one spice. And, in fact, I've done that with cumin seed. I believe there's an amazing, you know, potato recipe where I cube up Yukon Gold potatoes and I roast them in oil that has been tempered with mustard seeds that I have sizzled. I mean, sorry, cumin seeds. And then it gets nice and golden brown. And then I take raw cumin seeds and I grind it and I combine that with a little bit of turmeric and cayenne and salt. And that's the flavoring for those potatoes. So you layer those potatoes with the same spice in two different formats.
All right. That sounds great. Can you give us another maybe first try recipe for someone who wants to try Indian cooking but wants a real simple way to step into it?
Every chapter, you know, as you've noticed, opens with a fold-out, mm-hmm. and it's sort of a pictorial representation of, you know, some of the basic recipes. And, you know, one of my favorites actually tends to be in the vegetarian mains chapter. I've got an amazing smoky yellow split peas. You know, we're entering season where you want to have something warm and comforting, and so it's a combination of yellow split peas and potatoes that are, you know, as you can see, potato seems to be a main theme in my repertoire since it's one of my favorite tubers. And you combine the two together with a little bit of turmeric, and once they all cook, you take three spices, cumin, coriander, and dried red chilies. You toast them, and then you grind them up with a fresh tomato, and that is the flavoring for those for that pot of yellow split peas and potatoes. Rich, you know, comforting. It is vibrant, but it's also the beauty about it is that dish has no fat in it. It has no added oils, but yet the flavors that you sample that come from that particular recipe is just incredible. And of course, not to mention, pitifully simple.
All right. Well, let's get some fat in the recipe now. Can you talk to me about ghee? This is a purified or clarified butter, right? And we can make our own.
Yeah. And I've always said, you know, if you can melt butter, you can make ghee. It's not rocket science. And if you melt unsalted butter over a very low heat source and you keep skimming off you know, the foam and the milk solids, and some of the milk solids will eventually settle to the bottom. And while you get to that point, which takes about 10 or 15 minutes, really, and no labor, extra labor on your part, the liquid that's left behind is a liquid that resembles very much like a light amber-colored oil. But with that clarification process, what you've done, and by removing the milk solids, and we strain the whole product, by the way, with our cheesecloth, and you end up with a product that is extremely rich and nutty tasting, and it also removes the need to refrigerate it because you remove the milk solids. There's no reason to refrigerate it anymore. And the other big reason is you also have increased the smoke point of butter in a way, because you can't deep fry in butter, but you get rid of the milk solids. You can actually deep fry in ghee, and it's sort of, I was saying, an Indian's way of prolonging the shelf life of butter.
And that's why it was invented, in part, right?
Absolutely, it's the purity of it, and it's you know, it's a product of the cow, and sometimes, of course, water buffalo as well. And and it's used not only in cooking, but it's also used in some of the religious functions especially among Hindus in India.
All right, and then you just fry your veggies and other ingredients in the ghee.
You could, you know, and sometimes I love the taste, but if you don't want to have that fat, I'll stir fry something with a little bit of oil, canola oil, for instance, and then towards the end, I will just swirl in about one to two teaspoons of the clarified butter. And so what you end up getting is that intense burst of the flavor of ghee without the without the fat, the added fat, and so that I think makes it extremely extremely delicious.
So in our last 30 seconds or so, my favorite way to cook is to just kind of wing it. If I go mm-hmm. through the book, do I have to keep coming back to the recipes? Or do you think I'll have the education I need to just make up my own Indian recipes?
I think you'll have the education to completely wing it. That's the beauty of Indian cooking, really, is once you know the basics, the knowledge of how to use those spices, I think you will end up with, the fortitude and the ability to do it without a cookbook. But of course, you do need Indian cooking unfolded for that.
Raghavan, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. That was Raghavan Iyer. He's consultant, author of Indian Cooking Unfolded. He's left me inspired and hungry.
Coming up next, it's the news. Then we're talking to an advocate for pregnant women about a federal case focused on the rights of pregnant women.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.